You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I want to apologize to everybody last night on behalf of whoever was responsible. I still don't know. It may have been the weather, but we had severe technical difficulties and were unable to make a connection with the satellite uplink. And after trying for the better part of about a half an hour, I decided that it wasn't worth trying anymore. Because we wouldn't be able to accomplish much in the time remaining. So I went to bed. I don't know about you. Let's go straight to Phoenix. We missed Frank last night, so we have him on tonight so that you'll know what's happening with the Metal Report. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Bill. We got a lot of things happening with the markets, as I'm sure people have been watching. In the last 3.5 weeks or so, gold's up roughly $30 an ounce. That is a lot, in case you hadn't figured that out. Some people I know are up there going, well, so what? The stock market's up. No.
What's the price of gold?
The price of gold closed today at, where's my notes here, at 414 and change.
Remember what I told you?
Yes.
It's not going back below 400.
I don't believe so.
It won't.
I don't believe so. What we've got is, what happens is we get an indication usually a couple weeks after the fact as to what's going on. Nomura Securities, N-O-M-U-R-A, the House of Nomura in Japan, is probably the largest trading firm in Asia. They liquidated their bond portfolio, 100% of it, all gone. They took a 28% position in stocks, a 22% position in gold, and the rest is in cash for quick liquidity in any direction. That's a big position. From that standpoint, normally those large trading firms and the rest of it don't have any sort of a position in gold, but a 22% position, that's pretty significant, since especially Swiss America recommends a 20 to 30% position in your portfolio. I think it's a pretty safe bet at this stage of the game. Now, everybody that follows what's going on will follow Nomura's lead. We've got Japan in some serious difficulties over there. We've been watching the banking situation crumble. It's looking like it's going to cost at least $18 billion just to fix that situation. So
the United States and the Federal Reserve banks have been quietly bolstering the Japanese yen.
They need to. They need to keep a certain amount of liquidity over there.
Well, the banks in Japan, literally, on paper, are bankrupt.
Yes.
And they're not calling their loans to make up for their bankruptcy, because the Japanese know to do that means that they'll be hurting their own people.
Exactly.
Not like American banks, who don't even hesitate to hurt their own people.
And won't when the time comes. Now, for those people that think the stock's going up, like we talked about this before, it's not. Look at the advanced decline ratio. How many stocks are going up versus how many stocks are going down and remaining flat? Roughly, it's a 50-50 split. Sometimes it's 40% going up, sometimes it's 60% going down, and sometimes it's 50-50.
Well, not only that, Frank, but look at what the dollar would buy before all this, before the market started on this rise, and look what it'll buy now.
Exactly.
I mean, back in 1973, I bought the top-of-the-line, most luxurious, brand-new Chrysler that they had with all the options. For $4,500, and I could have bought the equal Cadillac for just a few hundred dollars more.
Yep.
Now, what do those same automobiles cost today?
Dramatic, $20,000 to $60,000.
So you people haven't won anything. You haven't gained anything. It's all a facade,
exactly.
A big hoax. It's a game.
You know what's even the best part about all this? Is Carol Quigley.
That's right.
It's from Tragedy and Hope. That money is actually the opposite of wealth. And it goes on to this, I've got three paragraphs dissertation, but the bottom line is Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is telling you the same thing Bill and I have been telling you. People, it's not money, it's paper. He explains in his tome, Tragedy and Hope, an odious tome it is, that you need to have goods, you need to have real things in your hands. That paper is nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but when you say that, make sure that they understand that you have to own it.
Yes.
And if you didn't pay for it with real money, you don't really own it.
Exactly.
And if you don't own it free and clear with no debt or encumbrances attached to it, you don't own it.
Mm-hmm. We've got other things that are occurring now. There's a concept in law that I want people to think about. When I was in law enforcement, they teach you at the academy, they teach you and nonstop, you do not have to tell the truth to get what you want. I mean, there's plenty of times, and, you know, you got a felony warrant, but you didn't want to be wrestling with the guy. You knock on the door. Who is it? Domino's. Guy's thinking, hey, I'm going to get free pizza. Opens the door. Next thing you know, his face is in the sidewalk. Okay? And you just take the upper hand immediately. You are not required by law to tell the truth to get to your ends, your appropriate end. The same applies to government. They tell you this, they tell you that, we're not going to devalue the dollar. Well, I want you to think about something. They may not, but what will are the Russians. The Russians hold an incredible amount of our paper, not our debt. They hold paper. They hold mostly $100 bills. They're already starting to discount the old hundreds. There's arbitrage being set up to set the stage between getting the new ones and getting rid of the old ones. They know what's coming. They don't believe the lies because they know what paper money's all about. So if the government doesn't devalue it, if the Fed doesn't devalue it, the sheer nature of other nations dumping it into the market are going to devalue it. And it's not just the hundreds. Recognize it's a contractual system. Your credits in the bank were gathered under that old contractual system.
Not only that, Frank, but if they default, if the United States defaults on the 1st of March, it's all over.
Yes, exactly. And it is a possibility. It's a very realistic possibility.
And looking more and more realistic every day, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. The private sector, we know the government's gotten into debt so far over its head that it can't make the principal payments. Well, American consumers have reached that point as well from 13D research. Personal debt now exceeds $1 trillion and represents 95% of total disposable income. By the end of 95, nearly two-thirds of all debt payments covered interest, while the other third paid down principal. You can't get out of debt that way. You cannot. It's a never-ending cycle. Bottom line is they got most of America right where they want it.
There's only one way. Well, there's two ways they can get out of debt. They can get rid of the debt. One is to repudiate it on the face of it as fraud and cancel it and call it null and void. And if anybody objects, back it up with the full military might of the United States. Number two is to drastically inflate the dollar.
And pay it all off. Worthless pieces of paper.
That's right.
The reality is, you know, the Dow continues to climb. It's a false market. It's very narrow trading. It's a flight from marginal stocks or poor stocks into quality stocks. The blue chips, the industrials, those new world order companies that will survive. They'll lose value dramatically. Tremendous amounts of value will be lost, but they'll still be viable companies when it's all said and done. I mean, that's, you know, what happened in previous times. It'll happen again. It's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. It's time to make a move. We've broken a lot of barriers. We've broken a lot of resistance levels in the price of gold. The way things are going, it's a continuing uptrend. At this stage of the game, it makes sense to just do it and get it done now while it's cheap.
You know what, Frank, a long time ago when I accepted Swiss America as my sponsor, I made some purchases from Swiss America because I couldn't have them as my sponsor, and I couldn't recommend it to my listening audience if I didn't do it myself and if I didn't believe in it. At that time, people were telling me, that I was crazy, nothing's going to happen, this metal is not going to go up, you're not going to make any money. And I just told him flat out it wasn't my intention to make any money. That wasn't the reason I was doing it, was to protect what I have.
Exactly.
Whatever is tied, I have this tied up in those coins is protected.
Yeah.
Now, I've already, without even intentionally or even wanting to or even having it in my mind, made an awful lot of money simply because I did it
right
back then.
Yeah.
And I remember one night that our good friend Gene got on the air and offered silver, 1 ounce rounds of silver for $4 an ounce.
Now you and, pay eight.
That's right. So,
it's
and people laughed at me. But what are you buying that stuff for? You know, they thought I was crazy. And I told them, and I told Craig Smith this. You can go in and ask him if you want to. I told him that sometime after Christmas, very shortly after Christmas, I sat in his office, and I said, gold is going over $400 an ounce, and when it does, it's not going back down.
Well, I'd have to agree with you. All the fundamentals are there. All the technical aspects. The political aspects, the global economic aspect, everything's there.
Craig didn't believe that it would happen that soon.
Well, you know, Craig's been in the business for a long time. He's seen bull markets, he's seen bear markets. He's cynical like the rest of the American public.
Yeah.
And he wants to believe, but, you know, he's still, you know, like everybody else to a large extent. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that's just the way it is. When you're in something for a long period of time, and as badly as gold's been being beat down by the Fed in the past and other central banks, you know, we just, bottom line is they just ran out of gold to beat it down.
Yeah, well, you know, my call on that had nothing to do with the market. It has to do with the tons of all the other information
mm-hmm.
that flows through here that even if I could, I don't have time to tell the American people about.
Exactly.
I know things that, well, that's how I make my
talk
call.
Talk about that. It's, you know, again, it goes back to the probable cause, reasonable suspicion argument.
Right.
You know, and you're trying to keep, you know, very hard programming on, unlike others, you know, that are on before and after you that talk a bunch of nonsense. I understand exactly where you're coming from. Well, on a more positive note, we do have a special.
Wonderful.
All right. It's for the big players out there. It's for people with large dough. 1913 S. St. Gaudens. I told you before, we're working with a family liquidating a large estate. We, in this estate, there is an incredible assortment of material in the numismatic. It's going to rewrite numismatic history is the bottom line.
Well, since I don't have a lot of money, you talk for a few minutes, and I'm going to go get a drink of water.
All right. Numismatic history is basically going to be rewritten with these this particular estate that we're working with. 1913 S, grade 64. Mintage of 34,000. Right now there's roughly 100 in a grade of 64. There's not many overall. Trends, suggested retail, blue book, 16,005. Swiss America, recognizing that, you know, having additional coins in the market and also being able to purchase these things properly, we're able to offer them at $6,500 a piece.
You're kidding. The blue book says $16,000?
Five.
Wow.
Coin trends. It's just, you know, this again, when you're working with a company like us, when we have the context and we have the integrity in this market.
Oh, by the way, there's a lot of people out there who like to nitpick.
Mm-hmm.
Frank and I both know there's no blue book. So don't write me a letter and say that we're talking about something that doesn't exist.
Well, we use a blue. It's called Coin Trends. It's a biweekly publication.
Right. But I just want to make sure we make
you
that statement.
We use that term loosely because people understand that.
Yeah. It's like an auto blue book.
Yeah. The publication is called Coin Trends. It's biweekly.
Yeah. You have no idea the nuts out there just waiting to...
Oh, Bill, I do. And I don't even worry about them. I mean, I just hang up on them. It doesn't really matter. But that's on a positive note. So for those of you that are, you know, big in paper and recognize a value, this is an opportunity truly of a lifetime. And once these are gone, that's it, and then we go on to another date. So if you're looking to build together one of the finest collections ever known, now is the time to get that done. Now, on a little more serious note, having lived in Sedona and you having been up in Camp Verde, I've got family and friends up there. We got a situation developing up there that's not real pretty. We've got a gentleman who has ingratiated himself with a certain group of individuals up in Camp Verde. He's a con man. He left his baggage, his luggage, in a place where he shouldn't have, and when somebody went to find out whose it was, he returned it. They found all sorts of documents. It appears that this gentleman's been staying with people in the Camp Verde, the Verde Valley area, and photocopying their information. The speculation is he's selling some feds. He's a very smooth talker. He's about 5'4", goes by the nickname Reverend. Talks a real big game about having worked with Howard Hughes and the CIA and decrypted messages for Kennedy. I mean, come on, people. How can you buy this?
Oh, my Lord.
I can't believe it. And the people up there, they have bought it hook, line, and sinker. The guy's a fraud. This bag of materials he left behind, it talks about prison records. It talks about all kinds of things that this guy's involved in. You know what? I've got a list here. They wanted to make sure that the gentleman is a friend of Craig's. He's known Craig and he have known each other for some time. The guy's very reputable and he cares about patriots, but people are, you know, up in Camp Verde are a little bit paranoid. But unfortunately, they're paranoid all the wrong people.
They're not very paranoid if they bought that phony bullshit
story.
Exactly.
You know what the best thing I got in my hands here with his business card on it is a bunch of safes, combinations to safes. This is how much the people up there trusted him that they gave him combinations of their safes. This is ignorance. Truly, a lot of people up there in that area are going to get what they deserve, but unfortunately, they've drawn the ire of the federal government, and you know as well as I, they're looking to make examples. And it looks like we might be seeing a situation developing in central Arizona, the Flagstaff, Sedona, Cottonwood, Camp Verde area. This guy has been all over there, and he's gotten a lot of people hoodwinked. And you people that have been hoodwinked that buy this guy's crap, you're going to get what you deserve. Really and truly. I just hope that you that are intelligent, that are able to back away from this guy, do so and don't get burned, because he's gonna burn a lot of people. The guy has no money, he's been a con artist for a long time, and he's been to prison for it. He's on probation now. So, hey, whatever he told you, you know, you'd think people would know better, but they bought it.
Oh, Frank, I mean, you've been around and you hear all the crap and you get the calls that I get and you see some of the letters and you talk to some of these so-called patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it just makes you sick. It makes you want to divorce the human race. I don't even want to get into it, because then I'll get angry and I won't want to do the rest of the show.
I wanted to talk to you. I don't want to work with amateurs and children. That's why you and I work together.
Yeah.
Because all I've found out there is amateurs and children that think, you know, they're a bunch of Walter Mitties running around as an excuse to play with guns. They don't recognize what's really and truly the purpose of all this. They can't think past their own little glory. And it's sad, but it's a fact, and we just deal with it, disassociate ourselves with those people, and get on with it. And just hope that we can warn the good people so they don't get burned with the bad. That's where we're at. So we got rising markets, we've got paper looking real crumbly, we've got idiots running around talking a real good game and sucking people in. Well, interesting times we live in, aren't they?
I told you I don't want to talk about it. It'll finish up, and I'm going to take calls and hope we get some good ones.
All right. After what I just told you, I think the phone lines are going to be lighting up. But, yeah, we've got a lot of things are breaking loose. Europe's got some serious recession problems, serious unemployment problems. The biggest thing to keep in mind with the Japanese taking a position in metal and getting out of the bonds is when you get out of bonds, that means you're expecting interest rates and inflation to go up. To take 100% liquidation on the bond portfolio means you're expecting all that stuff to go up a lot. Now, we got all the fundamentals in place in Europe for this same thing. We got very high unemployment. That means government's printing paper to keep unemployment rolls going because you don't have tax dollars come in, and you got welfare recipients because all that socialist nonsense they have over there starting in Japan, and it's going to probably hit Europe real quickly or the U.S. simultaneously or sooner.
By the way, folks, if the economy falls, and we know that it's going to, it will be the economy of the whole world, not just the United States. The United States economy can't fall without affecting all the other nations.
Globally, as it's always been global. 1929 was global. Pre-1929 was global. 1974 was global. 1987 was global. While I'm thinking about it, I do have a favor to ask of the listeners, primarily in England. I am looking for an article from the Manchester Guardian. This is alleged to, the title of the article is alleged to be the Great American Sell-Off. Now, we're not seeing this in the States, and Bill and I talked about why we don't see it, because the various factions of Freemasonry fighting each other, the British are reporting this because they're one faction against this faction, blah, blah, blah. But Manchester Guardian, sometime during the first budget shutdown, this article came off, and what it alleges to outline.
Well, wait a minute. Let's wait and see if we can get it before we allege anything.
Okay, that's I'd like. If anybody can help me with that, the Phoenix Public Library, they don't have any issues. They have up until December 17th. They don't have anything after that. They're like 6 weeks behind in delivery, and I got something I don't like that.
Yeah, well, that's normal. That's normal for getting newspapers from the European continent.
All right, well, then I don't feel so bad. But
unless you want to pay a fortune and go first class, and libraries can't afford that.
If anyone in England can help me with that, the Great American Sell-Off from the Manchester Guardian, either get it to me at Swiss America or get it to Bill if it exists. We very much would like to see that. If it exists, it's a very important article. And that's about all I've got for this evening, Bill.
Okay, thank you, Frank.
Thank you, and I hope you're feeling okay, and I'm glad you're back on the air.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
1-800-289-2646. Ladies and gentlemen, call Frank, talk to him. If he's not available, talk to anybody at Swiss America Trading. Tell them that you listen to William Cooper in the Hour of the Time, and you'll get first-class red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. Ask for the newsletter. If you got enough money to take advantage of that deal he just told you about, if I were you, I would. If I had the money, I would. I don't have the money. So, be right back after this. Thinking about, I want to thank everybody who's helped me with this broadcast, Gary Bourgeois, who's helped from the very beginning, and of course Swiss America Trading, and Frank, and everybody, Mike, and Sharon, Aponte, and Bart. Bart, I wish you were here. Sorry that happened to you, but it did. Also want to wish Mike Aponte, our editor-in-chief, a very happy birthday. His birthday is Sunday, folks, and he doesn't know that anybody knows about it, so this is a surprise. Happy birthday, Mike. We love you. We respect you. And by golly, the work you do on Veritas is outstanding, exceptional. If I could give you a medal, I would. And now let's go to the phones. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill, how are you?
Good.
A satisfied Veritas subscriber.
Wonderful.
I called up our local socialist radio talk show host, WBT, up in Charlotte. They were talking about the flat tax. A lot of people seemed like they wanted it. I called them up and explained to them I haven't paid income tax in the last 3 years. Explained why, if the 16th Amendment was never properly ratified.
That's not the reason. There's valid reasons, but that's not one of them.
Okay.
A lot of people think that. The Supreme Court ruled that the passage of the 16th Amendment, which, by the way, wasn't really passed, is not law, was not properly ratified, did not grant the government any new taxing powers that they did not already have. It had nothing to do with the income tax.
Philander Knox said that it was ratified by a sufficient number of states. I've read the history on it.
Pardon?
I've read the history on it about Philander Knox certifying that it was passed legally.
Yeah, he lied.
Okay. Well, I was telling the people that were listening that I bailed out of the system 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And after I hung up, the feedback was they were wishing me a heart attack. They said that if they saw me laying in the road, they would kick me to the curb. They said everyone knows that people have to pay an income tax.
But none of them could cite you the law that required it, did they?
Well...
Did you ask them that?
I couldn't. It was like a talk show. But my point is, Copernicus and Galileo put forth the proposition years ago that the world is round, but everybody knew it was flat.
That's right.
Until Columbus sailed. What I'm saying is, our grandfathers paid these taxes, and our fathers did, and we grew up looking at that.
Well, no, you're wrong. Our fathers may have, but most of our grandfathers never did.
Well, I know it all kicked off in 1913.
No, it didn't. Nope. The first income tax was during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think you need to study your facts a little bit more. Maybe that's why you got burned on the talk show.
Well, Bill, that's why I'm subscribing to Veritas. That's why I'm listening to you.
Yeah, well, I think it's wonderful. I'm not attacking you. I'm just telling you that your assumptions so far are going to get you in trouble. And if you're really not filing and paying, then you've got some studying to do because they're going to burn you. If you have the right arguments and if you know what you're doing properly, you're okay. If you don't, you're going to get burned.
I'm relying on organizations like Save a Patriot.
You can't do that. And if you've been listening to this broadcast for any length of time, I've told you, you can't. There are no magic bullets. You can't go to some seminars and have them tell you a few things and then fill out the forms that they give you and send them to the IRS. You'll go to jail. You have to learn the law, and you have to do it all yourself. If you don't, if you rely on other people, you're going to get burned.
You're talking about just what Lloyd Long did in his case in Chattanooga. He learned the law, he got up on the stand and told the jury what the law was, and the jury believed him.
That's right, and he was acquitted.
That's correct. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Remember, folks, you can call and say anything you want to. You can be wrong. I can be wrong. We can disagree. Whatever. As long as you're polite and intelligent, I'm going to be polite and hopefully intelligent. If you're not, if you want to say did too, did not, did too, did not, then I can get nasty and just click you right off and burn your butt. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I have called Swiss America, and I was wondering, it seems like you need a rather large investment to deal with their gold purchases.
No, you don't. You tell them how much you have to spend, just like anything else.
Okay, so, I live check to check, and I was...
I don't even get a check. You're luckier than I am.
Well, yeah. But I don't seem to have any extra resources to be available to buy gold. I have 2 gold coins.
Everybody does. I can follow you around for a week with a video camera and show you a lot of places where you're spending money that you shouldn't be. I can do that to anybody.
Doubt that.
Well, don't doubt it, because I might do it.
Well, do that, please, and give me some help here. Because I'm trying.
Most people who make that statement, within 3 days, I can follow them to a bar and a six-pack of Budweiser.
Well, I'm not into that.
Well, you're into something. You go to movies?
Well, yeah, no.
Eat ice cream? Take your girlfriend out?
No, I'm married. I've got three kids, and I pay my mortgage, pay my bills, my fuel and electric and food.
Well, let me tell you something. You need to find out where you're spending money that it doesn't really need to be spent, and you need to do something to protect you and your family. Because when this crash comes, you think you haven't got anything now. You're going to be kicking yourself in the butt for 5 million years for not having anything then. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I'm saying this all kindness and with great love to all of you who are in that situation. You have to find some way. Because when this happens, nobody's going to have any mercy on the vast hordes of misplaced, hungry mobs that will cause all kinds of problems.
All right. Can I ask you a question? I'm paying a mortgage on a house right now. What do you foresee would be happening to someone who's paying a mortgage on a house when the crash comes?
Well, in the first place, if you're not buying that house properly, you don't own it. If a crash comes and you haven't paid it off with legal money, you still don't. Do with their finances. I tell what I know on this broadcast. I deliver you the facts and tell you what I believe when I think that that's warranted. And every person has to make their own decision.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Goodbye.
You wouldn't appreciate me telling you what to do with your money anyway.
Well, I might. I appreciate a lot what you say.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. I have a question maybe you can enlighten me. What is the reason that Jackie Kennedy didn't tell what she knew about the assassination? That's something I can't figure out.
Well, you're assuming that she whispers in my ear, and I can tell you, quite frankly, that she never has and probably never would have. And, of course, she's gone now, so I don't know. You'd have to ask her, and she's not around.
I thought you might have some insight on that, considering your expertise.
Anything that I would say would be a guess. No one can second-guess anybody else or read their mind or tell you what they're thinking or why they really did anything. I would assume, this is just an assumption, don't go around and quote me, it's my belief that her children, after her husband was killed, were still under the protection of the Secret Service for the rest of their life, until they reached their age of consent, and she probably feared for their lives.
Okay.
That's just my guess. It's an educated guess.
So that seems like the most obvious thing. I thought that might be the case.
Yep. Well, being as how I believe, with all the evidence that I have, that the Secret Service killed Kennedy, makes sense to me.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So you can look into the law, folks, and the organization of the Treasury Department. You will not see the Secret Service mentioned. The Secret Service was actually formed from a division of the Pinkerton Detective Agency. It probably resides in a trust like the IRS and the BATF, although we haven't been able to find it. We can't find the Secret Service, and you can't find anything on their organization. It's all classified, hidden. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine. Turn off your radio.
Morris from Colorado.
Turn off your radio.
Okay. Mighty cold up here.
Goodbye. Boy, I'm telling you, folks, I don't know what's going on. Yeah! 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hello.
I'm reading the USA Today, and I've noticed a little blurb here about an article from Newport, Vermont. It states here, starting in the spring, state inmates here will help answer the Department of Motor Vehicle phones. They'll only answer general questions and won't have access to driver's personal data. What do you think of that?
You got crooks. They're in jail for, because they're good thieves and con men and the forgers, and they're not going to have access to anything. But
isn't that unbelievable?
No, if you've seen and heard the things that I see and hear, nothing's unbelievable anymore.
Well, anyway, I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, Chihuahua. Yep, this guy was took in for murder, and he's in jail and he's guarded, but we're gonna have him go out here and, supervise this office, and he won't kill anybody. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I have heard you quote before from a book called The History of Freemasonry, and unbelievably, I actually picked up a copy at a flea market last year.
Good.
And I was wondering, I noticed there's no copyright in this thing. It just says copyrighted according to Act of Congress. You don't know about what year this was done, do you?
I don't have my copy in front of me, and I don't know if it has a copyright in it or not. And it's about an hour's drive from here, to tell you the truth.
No, there is no date in here.
No, well, there might not be in your copy. They make different editions of all of these books. So what I'm saying is I don't know if there's a copyright date in mine or not.
Oh, I didn't understand that they had different editions. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know this is sometime in the 1870s, and that's as close as I can date it.
Well, I would say that you probably have one of the better copies. The older the copy, the better chance that it tells the truth.
Yeah, this is J.W.S. Mitchell, M.D., Grand Master of Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Bill. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. Well, if you're listening to that, where he says, it's a very perceptive song, I've got to tell you, where he says there's a war between those who say there is a war and those who say there is no war. If you don't believe that, get on the internet for 5 minutes. You'll find out real quick. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hey, I want to make a comment about, and give my opinion about the 16th Amendment. I heard a guy calling earlier. In my opinion, it's all irrelevant whether or not the 16th Amendment was ratified.
You're right.
You're
absolutely correct.
Individuals, anyway. Well, and corporations. It's been a lot of years since I've been into this, but probably 15 or so. So bear with me. My memory doesn't serve me well at all times, but I read the congressional debates on the 16th Amendment years ago, and I believe it applied to corporate privilege. And not only that, but the U.S. Supreme Court stated that the 16th Amendment may as well not even been passed because it didn't create any new law.
That's right. And it didn't give Congress or the government any new powers of taxation.
Right. So why argue the point? I mean, why?
That's what I said. It has no bearing upon the income tax whatsoever. Patriots who go into court and argue the 16th Amendment are going to jail. Or anybody else. You don't have to be a patriot to follow the law and get out of this phony, illegal, unconstitutional income tax.
So what about this, okay? Okay, let's say that they would repeal the 16th Amendment. Then they're repealing corporate tax, right? Corporate privilege.
Well, it would affect corporations, but it would not repeal all their taxes, no.
No. But that was my comment and opinion.
In other words, when the Supreme Court said it doesn't give the government any new powers of taxation, they're talking about didn't give any new powers about anything, period.
It did not amend the original text of the Constitution.
Right.
It's still there.
Yep.
And I don't know. It's amazing, you know. It's
Hey, let's not get into that because I could tell you it's amazing for 6 months about the stuff that I've seen that are amazing that people do that they shouldn't ought to be doing.
Yeah, right. Okay, Bill. I appreciate that.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Well, there's one fellow that's not a sheeple. 520-333-4578 is the number if you're a new listener, and if you're an old listener and never wrote it down. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Yeah, Bill.
Yes.
H.R. 1617, the Careers Act.
Yes.
It's been changed. The number's been changed to H.R. 2332.
Wait a minute. Let me write this down. Okay, say it again.
The Careers Act has been changed to H.R. 2332 from H.R. 1617. And the Communications Decency Act passed, as you know, I believe.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about that one?
Not tonight. We don't have time.
Okay.
That's a big sweeping bill that's going to affect an awful lot. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing that we have to fear is not censorship and not the fact that you can't, post obscenity or pornographic pictures and things in forums on the Internet where children can see it, but the fact that it allows one person to purchase all the media and all the radio and all the television and all of that kind of stuff, and it allows foreign ownership of our radio and television and newspapers.
Wonderful.
That's not wonderful. That is extremely dangerous.
Yes, sir.
And it takes away the restriction on how many stations and how many papers and all that things you can own.
Well.
So, that's dangerous.
Well, I have to understand that a little further, but one thing for sure, this Careers Act, I have the accompanying report. It's 746 pages long, and I just recommend everybody get a copy of this from your representative. It won't cost you a dime, but if you have children out there, you've got to pay attention to this bill. And with that, I don't think you have much more to add about this, and thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. 520. 333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes.
This is Travis in Houston.
Hi, Travis.
I've been listening to your program for some time, and I definitely want to tell you I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I've even gotten your Babylon series, and boy, it really is enlightening. Got a question for you. I've done all the things that you've pretty much recommended, protecting my future, getting some silver and stuff and gold. But the one thing I'm still having a problem with is the thing you touch on every now and then about the properties not being paid, bought originally with silver and gold or something.
Yeah.
Like that. And I've traced down some of this theory of the land patents and lodeal titles and all that, but I can't get any clear-cut information as to what would really work and what won't. A lot of the clerks and stuff, and at least in Harris County down in Houston, just don't even acknowledge.
No, they don't. It makes work for them. It's not politically correct. They don't want to deal with it. If they do, then their jobs are in jeopardy. So they don't want to deal with it. But I got to tell you something. It doesn't make any difference unless we win.
Yeah,
if they win, they're not going to allow anybody to own any property. It doesn't matter what you do or how you file or what you know or how long you've known it.
Okay. Well, I've pretty much come to that conclusion. And, of course, I've been trying to warn every one of my friends and get as many people involved as possible, but I have to admit that out of about 98 out of every 100 just flat won't even acknowledge it or just think I'm a complete lunatic.
Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, you bet. All right, well, the only thing I would ask is what do you recommend as far as all this lodeal title, where to dig up some solid information on it?
There isn't any one place. That's just like the income tax. There isn't any one place, and there are no magic bullets. Requires a lot of study.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have some people on this broadcast that can talk about that. But you have to understand, the goal of this broadcast is not to get you ownership of your property. The goal of this broadcast is to educate. It used to be to awaken the sheeple. I don't even care about them anymore. They've lost my interest altogether. If some of them accidentally tune in and listen and get awakened, that's great. But if not, it doesn't bother me. Is to continue to help those who are awake prepare for the total, utter breakdown into chaos of this society, which will lead either to a restoration of liberty and freedom or a slavery and a new world order.
I tell you, there's several of us that continually copy a lot of information, pass it around to friends, to coworkers, et cetera. And it's amazing. I mean, we can get less than 1% to even read any of it.
Sure.
Much less, you know, acknowledge that there's any problems.
You know why? In my dealings with people over all the years, and don't get me wrong, I'm not pontificating. I used to be just like most of the people out there for most of my life. And that's one of the things I'm most upset about is I wasted a good portion of my life when I could have been doing something like I'm doing now. And what I've discovered is if you really want to know how adult society operates, go to any high school in the nation and look at the social structure of the students in that high school, and that's exactly the social structure of the people in the community. Exactly. It never changes. And what are the priorities? You can name them, can't you?
Yeah.
Number one is getting laid, right?
Laid, drinking beer. And
drinking beer, having party. If you don't drink beer, figuring out some way to have fun, socialize, make enough money so that you can support all of those things.
That's right.
And they don't care about anything else as long as they got a chicken and a car and a garage.
And every one of them are trying to protect their own little turf. And
you got it.
Anything else.
You got it, my friend.
You bet. All right, well, I appreciate it.
There's no such thing as adults. It's just older children.
That's an absolutely true statement.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
Good night.
Okay.
520-333-4578. Boy, I bet that really made a lot of sheeple angry. I bet there's some people jumping up and down, steam coming out of their ears. How dare he say that? It's true. And I dare it because I got the guts that nobody else has the guts to do, and that's tell the truth on the radio. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Mark in San Diego. When you were off the air last night, in between the polkas and other rather odd music somebody was putting on, there was some back shows of yours going back to when you were advertising on WRNO.
Yeah.
And
It's a rerun that they have laying around WWCR.
Okay, well, I called them up to ask what was going on. And
they didn't know.
I know they didn't know, but they gave me quite an interesting story. And they were very down on you and everybody else that they broadcast and every talk show host. I couldn't believe I was...
Who was?
I wish I'd gotten his name. I hadn't talked to him at any other time I've called them.
Well, let me tell you, there's nobody there at night except the guys who run the board, the night shift. There's no management there.
Okay.
So why don't you call management during the daytime and tell them what this clown said about their employers and the people who broadcast on that WWCR radio station, and maybe that guy will be looking for another job.
Well, that would be good. I would.
And if you would do me a favor and send it to me in writing, I will help to make sure that the guy gets shuffled on down the road.
Okay, because he had some story about AP having offered time on their satellite and you having hung up on them.
AP has never offered me anything anywhere.
Yeah.
I have never phoned any other satellite company, never dealt with any other satellite company. No other satellite company has ever called me in a million years.
It didn't make any sense to me at all either. And he kept trying to get me to agree with him that anybody that would have done that wasn't worth ever listening to again.
Well, you just send me a whole account of that, and also you call WWCR and talk to management about that little conversation.
Okay.
And what he was probably talking about is they wanted me to go through another network of broadcasters who have publicly stated on their broadcast that they don't like this program and they don't like me.
I figured it was something like that.
And I told these people at the Uplink that I will never go through those people. I will never put my show in the control of someone who has publicly stated that they are against my broadcast and against me. Because in the middle of the show, they will cut the connection.
Yeah.
And I'm not stupid. So that may have been what he's talking about. I don't know.
The one thing that made sense that he said was that he'd been listening to the Dave Hingston show, and everything that was on it was un-American.
I'll agree with that.
Okay, I thought you'd like that one because I remember it from the night before when you'd been talking about it, and I heard that that one with Dave Hingston and Ivy West that one time when they mentioned that they had tried to get you to come on as a guest. I was listening to...
Well, you see, he's a liar.
Oh, no, I knew it. I knew
Dave Hingston...
That's when he said it.
Well, wait a minute. I caught him the other night.
Yeah?
Somebody called and said that he was bad-mouthing me on his show, so I tuned in. And sure enough, he had taped a portion of my broadcast, and he pretended like somebody was calling in, and he said, oh, here's William Cooper on the line right now. And then he played that for my broadcast. And then he said that he had personally asked me to come on his show, and that I had refused, and that I was a coward to come on his show, and then he said that I was a card-carrying communist.
Well, there's a good explanation. He claims that he can hear other people's thoughts or something like that when he drinks.
Oh, the guy is a Looney Tune. He's a Looney Tune, and he's a barefaced liar. But anyway, I called in right then and there. I said, and I told him, I'm not afraid to come on your show. Here I am, and you're a barefaced liar. You've never talked to me or seen me or invited me on your show in your life. He had to admit he was a liar. He admitted that he lied when he said I was a card-carrying communist and all of this stuff. He's just a little twit, wannabe, who brings anybody on his show that has the wildest story. He doesn't research anything, doesn't check anything. And folks, if you really want to be entertained, listen to the Dave Hingston Show. I'll give him that plug, because if you're really into entertainment and not facts, you'll get it there, I'll guarantee you.
Okay, well, thank you. Have a good night.
You're welcome. You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
This is Ed Busco. I'm calling from Harrow, Ontario, Canada.
Hello.
How you doing? I have a question, and it's in regards to Don McElhaney. I used to subscribe to his newsletter, and I found that much of his information was speculative and redundant. And he's also, I noticed, a big cheerleader of Bobo Greitz.
Yeah.
And what I would like to know is, who really is Don McElhaney, and can he really be trusted for the information that he gives?
In his earlier newsletters, he used to admit who he was. He used to publish in there until everybody found out that it wasn't cool, you see. He used to publish in there and freely admitted that he was a Central Intelligence Agency operative for a good portion of his life. And if you've been listening to this program, you know what that means. When he found out that patriots weren't onto that and didn't think it was cool, then he started denying it. And at one of the Expo, what was it, Survival Expo?
Yes.
That thing that the guy from Utah runs?
Yes, the survival shows.
Yeah, I was speaking at one of those shows, and so was he. Somebody came by my booth and asked me, you know, if I knew anything about the history of McElhaney, and I told him what I knew. I didn't say anything bad about him. I just said, I know that he used to work for the CIA. They said, how do you know? I said, because it's in his old newsletters, which I used to get for years.
Yes.
And I have the copies where he says that. Later on, I guess they went over and asked him about it. Later on, he came over and threatened to sue me. And I said, sue me. I've got the newsletters. Go ahead. I welcome it. He's never sued me. No. And he won't, because it's true. I don't say anything that I can't back up. And if I can't back it up and it's my opinion, I always tell you it's my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion.
You're right on, Bill. I've been listening for about a year and a half to you, and you're exactly right. And that's the whole truth when you
yeah.
say that. One other thing
yeah,
I was going to
yeah.
mention.
And also, I've never said anything bad about McElhaney. I've just told the truth when people ask what I know.
Yes, that's right.
And how I know it is because he published it himself.
Yes. I was flipping through the frequencies a couple of nights ago, and Dave Hingston, and I just caught about a minute of a segment before he went to a commercial, and he was mentioning yourself and Bo Greitz, and he said that he would gladly give both of you 3 hours, the whole 3 hours of a show, and he would act as a mediator, and he would let the audience...
Don't you understand that I don't give a damn about that? I have my own show. I have no interest in being on his parade of lunatics and wild stories. Now, every once in a while, he has somebody on good there, like Stephen Jacobson or John Daniels, who wrote Scarlet and the Beast. But by and large, he'll take anybody who has a Looney Tunes story. Who was the girl who said that she's been sexually assaulted in the White House by Carter, Reagan, all of them. Carter, Reagan, Clinton, all of these people.
Is there any credibility to that? Or?
None whatsoever. Are you crazy? I mean, how could you ever believe that?
Well, I really don't know what to believe unless I hear it from another source other than...
Yes, you do. I mean, that doesn't even pass the common sense test.
Yes. Okay, Bill. I just wanted to call and let you know...
Would you take some used Looney Tune woman that's being passed around Washington, D.C. by everybody to the White House?
No, I guess not.
No, you wouldn't.
Right.
These people are big people. They don't need that kind of crap. Doesn't matter whether you like them or not. They don't indulge in that kind of stuff.
Yes, you just kind of think that the people in Washington aren't as innocent as the media presents them to be a lot of times. Also, so that's you know.
I didn't say that. I didn't say they were innocent.
Yes.
They're not stupid. If they were stupid, they wouldn't be in the White House.
That's
you
right.
Understand that?
Yeah, they're dumb like foxes.
You better believe it.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Good night. Oh, boy. You know something? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I'm Outrider in Oklahoma City.
All right.
Did you hear anything about Louis Farrakhan visiting Muammar Gaddafi?
He did visit Muammar Gaddafi.
Get $1 billion to form a fifth column?
Nobody has verified that at all. It is a rumor.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd heard the rumor or if...
I hear all the rumors. Every rumor in the country floats right through here.
Well, I called the State Department. They said they were aware of it, and they would be sending me some information on it.
Well, if you get some solid facts, I'd be happy to hear about it. I'm not even investigating it because, quite frankly... Even without the $1 billion, Farrakhan is going to be a problem.
In 1985, he originally got $5 million interest-free from him also.
Well, I know that he's received some money before, yeah.
You know what, Fifth Column, of course you do, but I don't know if all the people out in the listening audience know,
right.
But Fifth Column is agent provocateur, spies, that sort of rot, isn't it?
Well, that's not what it's all about. It's another fracture of the country. Supposedly... And this is a rumor. Gaddafi gave Farrakhan some money in order to bring the money to bear politically in order to create a black nation within the United States, separate black nation.
Yes,
fracture, New World Order stuff, divide and conquer, destroy.
Hey,
that's what it's all about.
You bet.
And even if Gaddafi didn't give him the money, the rumor is enough to fracture the nation.
Could be.
Okay?
Forever vigilant.
We're out of time.
Take care.
Good night. Chihuahua. Hi, Chihuahua. Let me see here. Where am I? Yeah, let's do this because this is right on the money. Folks, we're out of time. I'll see you on Monday night. Happy birthday, Michael Aponte, again. Hope you have a wonderful one. Good night, everybody, and God bless you all. That's the wrong one. Here's the right one, I think.
When you catch me riding on the skyline, this what's proud nation, this is the end of the train, flowing on such population. Value, we use, are being seduced by the greedy hands of and how trust the future generation, The future generation.